Good afternoon. We're the Bike Sport Radio. This is Brad House, Bike Sport on killradio.org. It's January 26th, 12 noon. The call number is 213-252-0998, and we are featuring the sport of competitive cycling, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. Today's show coming up after the news and coming up with events upcoming. We've got in the studio today junior national champion Iggy Silva III, and we've also got GeoLung inventor Cecil Campbell. Cecil comes from Le Mans Series racing and Formula One racing background. We'll be chatting with Cecil and Iggy shortly. Last weekend we had the opening Winter Omnium Series, the LAVRA, that's the LA Velodrome Racing Series, winter session January 24th at the LA Velodrome in the Omnium. First place, Taylor Finney, that's the infamous Davis Finney's son, taking the Omnium overall in the men's pro. Second, Justin Williams, and third, Iggy Silva, both with Rock Racing. The Madison event, which is a really a blast to watch. First place, Bahati Carson, that's Rahsaan Bahati Kit Carson team. In second place, Ian Moore and Danny Healy. Third place, Iggy Silva and Kevin Schiller. We've got some live footage from racing out there at the LAVRA Velodrome, and let's go to that now.
41 points, Julian Carr with 28, Danny Healy with 14, Iggy Silva with 12, Justin Williams and Kit Carson tied at 10 apiece, and Hernandez with 5. And one sprint remaining, breakaway group off the front is Schiller, Walsh, and Carr.
Second to last sprint was Danny Healy first. Rock Racing's Justin Williams second, and then Iggy Silva also Rock Racing third. And we have the final sprint to go.
661, Jacob Ray now going the field through. He's Jacob off the front. Now Taylor Finney racing.
Two laps to go.
They're hitting now off the front. The field chasing was on Bahati Carson across everyone else. One more lap to go as Taylor Finney brings it through at 36 miles an hour.
Iggy Silva and Danny Healy chasing.
All right, that's the way the points race went for the final sprint. We've also got some live footage from the scratch race. This is the scratch race finish coming up now.
All right, here we are, one lap to go. Justin Williams in second place. Finney, Taylor Finney, pours it on. Look at that, and Williams just drops off the back. But Justin Williams hangs on for second. Taylor Finney picking up the win. And is that Iggy Silva, third place? Right on. I think so. Looked like Iggy Silva. Yeah, Rock Racing, second and third. All right, that was the scratch race, men's pro 1-2 scratch race. So,
yeah, Velodrome Racing's really exciting. We had a lot of spectators out there, so that was cool. For those of you dirt racers, on January 13th, the Southridge USA Fontana Winter Series cross-country results. Third place, Michael Hansen in the Pro Men. Second place, Eric Bierman. And your winner, Manuel Prado. Manuel Prado, that's the cross-country racing 15th annual Southridge USA in Fontana mountain bike racing. Also on Sunday, that was yesterday, we had the Dominguez Hills Criterium, and we had a lot of rock racing riders out there, including Iggy Silva, coming in 12th place, 11th place Justin Williams, 4th place Rahsaan Bahati, and picking up the win for rock racing, Sergio Hernandez. A lot of good showing out there for the rock racing guys. Got some upcoming events. The LAVRA, Los Angeles Velodrome Racing Association, is starting their Friday night training races starting Friday, January 30th. That's at the LA Velodrome in Rancho Dominguez, Dominguez Hills. For full details, visit lavelodrome.org. Coming up on Saturday, January 31st, road racing. UCSB Cycling presents the Poor College Kids Road Race. That's on Saturday, January 31st in Santa Barbara, scnca.org for details on that event. And the next day, make it a Santa Barbara weekend, February 1st, Sunday, Echelon Santa Barbara presents the Mothballs Criterium, Criterium Racing in the Goleta Valley Research Park area, echelonsantabarbara.org. Also on Sunday, February 1st, racing in the southernmost part of California, El Centro. We've got the 4th Annual Imperial Classic. That's on Sunday, February 1st in Imperial Valley area, El Centro. IV Velo. Check out IV Velo for full details on the 4th Annual Imperial Classic. So we've got this show here, this radio show, covering sports cycling, which definitely needs more media coverage. And we've got millions and millions of people out there riding bikes these days in the USA, and there's over 63,000 USAC-licensed bicycle racers. So we're here with BikeSport to put bicycle racing on the map. And next up we've got, and again our phone number is 213-252-0998. Be sure and give us a call if you want to chat with national champion Iggy Silva. We've got national champion Iggy Silva in the studio right now. How you doing, Iggy?
I'm doing good. Good.
All right. What did you think of the ride down here? What do you think of the studio?
It was a nice ride on the train. Never been on the train down to downtown L.A.
Yeah. We took the subway coming in from Rancho Dominguez all the way down to the studio down here at Sunset in Vermont. So Iggy, we got some questions to go over with you and to tell our listeners out there and everything, like about bike racing. Iggy's a national champion now, junior national champion. But what age did you actually start riding a bike, and you know, versus racing? When did you actually start competing or decide you liked racing?
I started riding when I was 8 at the Velodrome down in San Diego. I think my first actual race was when I was 9, and just stuck with it since then.
Tell me about the Velodrome a little bit in San Diego. What's it like, and what was it like for somebody your age? Were there other people your age doing anything like that? Or
Yeah, there's a lot of kids that go out there and race. The Velodrome over there, it's a 333-meter track, outdoor cement. It's pretty cool when you're little, with the bank turns and everything.
Yeah, track racing's neat. It's all enclosed in a little self-sustained area, a very small area. Spectators can see the entire race unfold right before you can see all the tactics and everything, and it's a great spectator sport too. You can bring your family and friends, and they can see every little move you do and all the tactics. Was there a special bike you had before you got on the track when you were like really really young or anything, or what was your favorite bike, your favorite earliest bike when you were like really young? Besides maybe like a Stingray or something, or what?
Well, I had a Stingray when I was little. I learned how to ride a bike when I was like 3.
Took the without training wheels?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was my favorite bike for a long time. Little tiny red bike. Yeah.
Did you set up ramps or anything? Or go to like vacant lots and do jumps?
Yeah, try
and
go off the curbs.
Cool. You broke a lot of wheels and stuff. Yeah, made your dad fix the bike a lot all the time. So dad knows how to fix bikes pretty well because of your Stingray experience. That's cool. Yeah, I had a Stingray, too, and we used to do jumps and stuff. I broke my frame, actually, eventually, and I had to take it into a welding place and get it welded when I was a kid. And my dad was shaking his head, just going, "What are you doing, Brad? You're going to cost me a fortune fixing this bike all the time." So that was fun. As you did the track and stuff, was there, like, a specific significant event that happened when you were first starting to get interested in it that actually occurred that made you think about pursuing racing?
Anything specific? I don't know. When I was little, it was just, it's just, I just liked it. Just fun. Like to do it. But recently, the last few years, I've won some national championships, and that's really been a good motivator towards
it. Yeah, that's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. The most recent one I saw was, I guess, the junior pursuit team.
Yeah.
You and, who was on the team? Who was on the team?
It was me, Danny Finneran, Danny Healy, and Freddie Cruz.
Mm-hmm. You guys all on the same team, or was it a composite team?
Well, three of us were on Rock, and Danny wasn't, but he wore the Rock stuff for the event, so it was a Rock win.
Right, that's cool. Yeah, I know Danny Healy. I've ridden with him a bunch of training rides and stuff, and very strong rider. He's only 17 now.
Yeah, he's 17.
Yeah.
I actually spent the weekend at his house this weekend for the races.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
Nice family.
Yeah, the Healys. All right. Thanks, John, Danny.
Yeah.
Was there any particular like team or early clubs that may have helped you when you were real young getting started that you want to recognize or thank or anything like that?
And all the clubs I've been on have been really kind. And San Diego Bike Club and like the Harbor Lights team when I was younger.
San Diego Bike Club, that's like the biggest club, isn't it, in San Diego area?
Yeah, it's pretty big.
San Diego Bicycle Club?
Yeah, I think
club?
It is the biggest, yeah.
Yeah, I know they got several clubs down there, but they're one of the biggest and oldest clubs, San Diego Bicycle. Tell us about Harbor Lights. What are they? What?
Well, I don't know that they're a team. They're not a team anymore, actually, but it was a lot of women national world champions and stuff, and they kind of took me under and helped me out through racing. When I was
women young. And children.
Yeah.
All right. Harbor Lights, yeah, that's right. That was a women's only pro or semi-pro team.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
traveled just domestic U.S. or
yeah.
mainly? Or okay.
Yeah.
And they took an interest in you. Was somebody there you knew or how?
Yeah,
what
knew
happened?
A few of the people there, and they all just, they were really nice and helped me out going to races. So.
Transportation?
Yeah.
Drive you around? Yeah, too young to drive. was there, what about in school, like, I don't know, middle school, high school, what did the teachers and, like, your schoolmates think about racing during middle and high school?
Schools have been pretty cool, you know, let me take time off when I need to, and so, of course, all the kids are jealous that I get to miss so much school.
How do you get away with that? You get to miss school?
Yeah.
You got to miss school in high school or middle school for events? Or?
Yeah, for races, you know.
Oh.
If I got to go for the weekend or something or leave class early on a Friday or don't go on Monday because of race.
Right.
Teachers are pretty cool as long as I make it up.
Right, so you did have to make up any missed time.
Yeah.
You just didn't have to attend all the time because of your competition.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's great. That's good that the schools are doing that.
Yeah.
At least for you. What did you participate in, like, school activities other than cycling or clubs or any athletic?
Yeah, actually, freshman and sophomore year, I was quarterback playing football. That was pretty fun, getting pounded.
Quarterback?
Yeah.
That's like the team leader, so
yeah.
You're the one that calls the shots. Nice.
Yeah.
You got a good arm on you then?
Oh, that's all right.
You're able to hit those guys in the Hail Marys and stuff?
Yeah.
How'd your team do?
Not good.
No?
No, we weren't that great, but, you
yeah.
know.
Happened. What school was that?
San Diego High.
San Diego High, okay.
Yeah.
So they weren't known for their football team that year, or those 2 years?
No. I think the whole 4 years I went there, the varsity team won, like, 5 games or something. No.
5 games?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It's better than not winning any,
yeah.
I guess. You just didn't have big guys on the line, or what? Are they?
Yeah, not a lot of people
yeah.
really working hard.
Yeah. You get sacked a few times, get
yeah,
nailed pretty bad.
Yeah.
A lot, huh? Cool. So you learned how to fall. Perfect for bike racing, huh?
Some good pads.
Yeah. Yeah. The padding is definitely, definitely needed in football, huh? Wow. How about clubs or any like academic clubs or any academics of notability or anything?
No, I didn't really have any time. I mean, I was already missing some.
No time for academics. Cool. A real jock. All right. A good jock. Like that's perfect. Yeah, you didn't have time. You were training a lot. Did you ride your bike to school, too?
No, I never did that.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you get to school?
Dad drove me, or I drove.
Oh, Dad?
Yeah.
Why'd you make him ride his bike? Too many parents out there driving their kids to school these days. Anyways.
No, my school wasn't the best. I didn't really feel comfortable locking up my $5,000 bike.
You know? Oh, good point. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to leave it alone in the bike rack at the school.
Wheels missing, yeah.
So, in encouraging like the youth of today, we know there's a lot of talent potential out there in other countries that rely on bicycling for transportation, and they have it in multiple, many generations. What would you say to today's youth out there that might want to encourage them, or to the youth or to the parents or teachers to mentor, encourage people to really stick with cycling as a potential good activity that they could actually be competitive in and pursue bike racing? Anything you want to say to encourage them?
Well, I mean, all I have to say is there's not really anything bad about biking, you know? Good exercise. It's green, you know? It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah, the green initiatives, that is a good thing. Everybody wants to go green.
Yeah.
And, you know, driving an automobile by yourself, I don't know, that's not so socially responsible anymore. And, you know, I know when I was growing up, the first thing you wanted to do was get your license and get your car and get out there and drive, because that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's not so cool anymore.
Yeah, and it's way better than being inside playing video games all day, you know?
Yeah.
Go ride around.
That's right. Independence. I remember that. My independence, I was riding everywhere on my bike. You know, yeah. I'm just going everywhere. So what age, like, did you score your first, maybe somewhat significant? We're not talking nationals now. Now you're a national champion, yeah. So that's all, everything. But go back and think of, like, an early victory, maybe when you were, you started at 8,
yeah.
8, 9, 10, somewhere in there in that age. Can you think of something at that age that was significant, that was a win or a close enough victory that really inspired you?
I can't remember specifically how old I was, but I was around 9 or 10. And I won my first state championship on the track, the
state
10-12 Omnium.
California State Championships,
yeah.
Track. All right.
That was a
they
big deal.
Do Omnium, not individual events. So the Omnium,
no,
is
Omnium. So at the time,
race,
it was a points race, two scratch races, and a 500-meter time trial, I believe.
500-meter time trial.
Yeah.
That's individual.
Yeah.
They just measure you how fast you can go from standing start.
Yeah.
So you would go three laps around a 250, well, a two laps, on a 250, but San Diego was,
one
and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. And the scratch race, two scratch races.
Yeah,
how come two scratch races?
One was shorter, I think 2K, 2 kilometers, and then the other was like 5 kilometers.
Okay.
And that was a lot for 10-12, you know.
Right.
Pretty far. And
now these bikes, for those of you listeners out there, these bikes don't have any brakes, and they have one gear. It's a fixed gear. You can't coast or anything like that. So, and then there was a points race, you said?
Yeah, and then a points race also. So I think now they've taken away one of the scratch races, though.
For juniors?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's only three in the Omnium.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember how you did in each of the individual Omnium events of the four? Did you win all of them or just some of them?
I think I won all of them at that.
Nice.
At that one, yeah. So.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a good... good feeling.
What, do you remember what year that was, state championships, when you were 10, 8, 9?
99, probably.
1999.
Yeah, so I was...
California State Championships.
Yeah.
They had the bear jersey. You got to wear the
yeah.
bear jersey. Dad had to buy you all this new clothing and a state champion jersey.
Yeah. They, it was actually like a yellow state championship jersey. They don't use yellow anymore. It was pretty wild.
All right. So, last weekend you were out at the Lavra Winter Velodrome Series. We had some interviews with some people there. Actually, I've got something here from one of the racers out there. Let's listen to that for a second. Real racers out in the field that we listen to in track racing, and this is to kind of inspire some of you people out there to maybe think about track racing, or this is a beginner's level racer.
So tell me a little bit about category 4 and 5 racing on the track. I'm here with Bike Sport Radio. You know I have a radio show now?
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. This is Dave Pimlet here, South Bay Wilman. You're getting ready to go up there now.
So. Ready to go up.
What, so did you, this is your second year?
No, well, this will be my third race in the on the track here, and because I did the Friday night training race, which was good, so now this is the opening of the Winter Classic, so unlike a crit race, your mind just does not stop thinking about where to position yourself.
Right, everything happens so fast, there's no time, everything happens like that.
Very fast.
A 250 meter track out here. Yeah. What's the first race you guys are doing?
This is the scratch race.
Okay.
This is similar to a crit race. 20 laps.
20 laps, and then you just go, yeah.
20 okay. laps, and then we just go for it. Usually, 3 to go, we'll see a lot more action, I believe. But there's a big group here today.
Do you think it'll be kind of slow at first? Like first 18 laps, 17 laps, nobody's going to do anything?
Well, you know what? With the Cat 4, we've got young teeny buffers out here, and we've got all kinds, and I'm 50, so, yeah. You know, we'll see what goes on here. But I
all
think
right.
there's going to be some.
Well, good luck to you out there.
Thanks, mate.
Young teeny buffers. Dave Pimlet. He's a South Bay wheelman, and he was racing the beginner's level racing with a lot of young guys out there, and they had quite a big turnout out there, and that was only his second or third race, I think he said, and I don't know how he did, but the anyways, the track is really fun. Have you gone to racetrack now that you've been racing for many years? You've traveled, right, and you've raced all over the place.
Yeah, actually, last year I went to Belgium, raced a track in Ghent. It's also a 250, like ADT, and did some racing there with Kit Carson and Danny Healy. That was a good experience. And then later in the summer, we went, me and Kit, to Junior Worlds in South Africa, and that was amazing to see all the other countries competing with you. And
yeah. That was the first time you've been to Africa, then?
Yeah, first cool. time.
What city was that in?
In Cape Town.
Cape Town.
Yeah,
okay.
Cape Town.
Yeah, way down in the south there.
So. Yeah, right on the beach.
Nice. Jet lag, fly over there, and I don't know how you guys do it. I guess at that age, I mean, I'm an old fart, so.
Yeah, I think on the way back with the flight arrangements and the layovers, it was about 26 hours of flying.
Oh.
Back home, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, that's
yeah.
painful. That's
I got
really
home
painful.
From that, and then 2 days later, flew to Canada for a race in the most eastern part of Canada, too. So
Velodrome, right?
Yeah, no, Libidibi on the road.
Oh.
Stage race out there.
What time of year was that?
August or July.
Okay, so it wasn't like snowing or anything.
No, no. Yeah.
Like it does in Canada. When I think of Canada, I think of snow and cold, because I'm a Southern California boy. And I'm a brat, you know, I love the
yeah.
weather. did you ever, like, wipe out or really bad crashing, or how many crashes have you... Not, well, let's not say how many. We don't want to talk about too many crashes. But if you, like, how about your earliest age crash? What do you remember in that?
I can't remember my first crash, but I remember my first big crash in Texas. In 2003, I broke my collarbone
oh.
at Nationals, yeah. That was...
How'd
first
that happen?
Broken bone ever. In the points race, 13 to 14, someone came across my wheel and hit the ground hard, and that's pretty much all that I remember.
Did you take them down too, at least?
No.
No? Oh.
It was me and someone else, but neither of us were the one who caused it. So.
Right.
That's usually how it ends up.
Yeah. So was this towards the end of the Omnium, or was it...
This was actually the second race.
The second race.
500 meter time trial.
So obviously you couldn't continue and finish the Omnium in the
short-lived
there.
Track nationals that year.
Bomber. Have you won any other nationals? Or?
Yeah, I won in 2006. Was my first Criterium National Championship, and that was in Pennsylvania. I also won one the year after in Pennsylvania, same the Criterium, and Team Pursuit on the track for this year and the year before.
Pennsylvania has the T-Town Velodrome, Trexlertown.
Yeah.
And what do you think of that? Is that wood? That's not wood, or is it concrete? Or
no,
is
it's a concrete 333.
What kind of program do you think they have out there? What do you think of their program?
It's really awesome. They have Friday Night Racing, where they have a lot of international people come, and stands are packed. Because actually, during the Nationals, it came across a Friday, and there was just hundreds of people out there cheering. It makes for better racing with all the fans, you know?
About 3 months ago, you got taken out somewhere with about 300 meters to go or anything. What about that? Tell me about that a little bit.
That was actually in Canada.
Canada?
The very last day of that stage race in Libitibi. I don't remember at all, really. Had a concussion. It's got some memory gone, but apparently some guy came across my wheel in the last couple hundred meters, and I just hit the ground. And because of that, I broke my collarbone. I got a metal plate put in my shoulder. So I got some hardware.
You still have that in there now?
Yeah.
Is it permanent or?
No, it's going to get taken out.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's so many months or a year or 6 months, 9 months?
It's dependent on kind of when I want to get it out. But within the next year or two.
Wow. Nice. Does that add to your weight, to your body weight now? And what about the X-ray machines when you go traveling to race? You got to show them the X-rays? Or?
No, I've actually gone through an airport a couple times, and it doesn't go off.
Wow, yeah. Undetected.
Yeah.
Cool, Iggy Silva III packing undetected through the airport machines. Wow. Now, how about like when you were a really young kid, junior, or maybe even before your racing career, maybe before you even started racing, did you wipe out on your Stingray or anything or do anything?
Yeah, actually, when I was like 4 years old, I was going down a hill on my Stingray and hit a rock and fell down, and tooth went through my lip. It was pretty bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this is radio, so describing it graphically, your tooth was sticking through, blood was everywhere, and it was red.
There was one of my front teeth went through the lip, big old hole in the lip, and another tooth just fell out. Don't know where that went.
It's been missing today.
Yeah.
So watch for Iggy's tooth out there down in San Diego if you see it. It's probably a baby tooth anyways at 4 years old. But we're not here to talk about that. So we're talking about successes now. So anybody says this isn't a tough sport, you know, just look around and you can check the scars out. Concrete's pretty hard. You know, we don't have 10-minute breaks and half times, intermissions, timeouts, or any of that stuff. Some of the pro races, you know, when you get to tour level, you're competing for 4 hours, maybe more at a time, and there's no break out there. So your cardiovascular system gets real strong. Hold on a minute. We've got a call coming in now.
Kill Radio.
Yeah, I was wondering, I'd like to speak to that young rider, Iggy.
Yeah, who's calling?
Larry.
All right, just a minute. Hello?
Yeah, so is this young Iggy?
Yeah.
So listen, I was wondering, with all this riding that you do and all this working out that you do, you do supplements? What's your diet consist of, or does your dad make sure and is handing you supplements afterwards, or what do you do since you train so hard all the time?
Yeah, you know, you try and keep a good diet. I take a few vitamins. Company Emerald Balance gives me a vegetable supplement that I take.
Protein drinks, things like that.
Yeah, after my races, I'll have protein drinks from Premier and to replenish what I use during the race.
Well, that's a good thing. It sounds like you got it pretty together, and you know, it's really important that you replace everything that you burn up, especially with all the training that you do.
Yeah, it's important. You know, you burn a lot of calories out there riding. Do like between 300-400 whatever miles a week, and you got to maintain your calories input.
Yeah, the sport's really hard on the body and takes a lot out of you.
So. You got a new coach. What is his name?
I've been training on the track with Mark Whitehead recently.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
It's good. It's good. He gets on the motor you know, upwards of 45 miles an hour on the track, and just kills me.
Yeah. Well, I've heard a lot of great things about him. I heard he's an incredible coach. And for him to have you training with him must be a pretty big thing, because I know he just doesn't train anybody. So yeah. That's kind of a big plus for you also.
Yeah, yeah.
A motivator.
Yeah. He's got a good resume to himself. You know?
So I guess Viking world better watch out, huh? They got the Mark Whitehead and Iggy Silva combo.
Yeah. Hopefully there's something to watch out for.
Great answer, my friend. Well, good luck to you and your future, and good luck to Iggy Racing and Kill Radio.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for calling. Much.
Larry. Okay. That was Larry calling. And a big thanks to him for calling in. And talking about the future, yeah, look out, world. We got Iggy coming. What do you, what's your goals now? What do you see yourself going in the future? The season's early. It's January. Usually racing starts, well, track racing apparently starts in January now. That's pretty early. What do you think? What's coming up?
There's a few crits coming up that I'm looking to do. Nothing too big. But hopefully in the summer I'm going to go over to Europe with the national team, do some big races over there, and hopefully get some big races in the U.S. also with Rock.
Yeah, we'll talk about Rock Racing in a second here. Kill Radio, 213-252-0998. You're with Bike Sport. I'm Brad House. And it's Monday, 12 noon, the noon hour. So call us if you want to give a chat to Iggy Silva III, current Junior National Pursuit Champion. Again, 213-252-0998. What's Rock Racing's got maybe a camp coming up or something? What do you know about that? Can you tell me about
that? Yeah, we have a camp in a few weeks up in Marina Del Rey. And should be good. Get all the guys together. Get to meet everyone on the team. Go on a few long rides. Camp usually involves long rides, you know, 100-plus miles, just not usually too fast, but...
Do the team members of Rock have individual coaches, and do the coaches come to the camp too, or is there a Rock coach that kind of coordinates the camp?
No, there's more so directors of the team, people in the management, but most of the riders, I think, have their own coaches, as do I, so, and they don't go to the camp.
Oh, okay. So you're coach free for the camp. Who's the current team director for this camp? Do you know?
I don't know yet. We're gonna meet everyone like as we get there. So.
Okay, and that's coming up February.
February, yeah, February 2nd.
Second. How long? A week? 2 weeks?
Through the 12th.
Second through the 12th. So yeah. You guys are gonna be hanging out in that area, and we'll see the Rock Racing guys cruise around in their kits. What? Probably daily, riding daily out there.
Yeah, for sure, every day.
Wow. Do you know if you guys are going to do any racing during the camp or just camp activities probably?
I don't know for sure, but I do know there are a couple races that come across our camp, Boulevard and Red Trolley in San Diego. Boulevard Road Race and the Red Trolley Crit. So we might be out there. So show up. Check us out.
Cool. Nice. Very nice. Yeah, Boulevard Road Race coming up February 8th and Red Trolley February 7th. That's in the San Diego area. Boulevard's way, way out in East San Diego County, somewhere out there, and that's a big road race. And the Red Trolley Criterium, I believe, is in Greater San Diego area. It's closer
yeah.
into
Mira Mesa.
Mira Mesa, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, are you training with the Pursuit team again? Are you planning on competing in the Nationals again at the Pursuit level? I guess when you're 18, you can still race juniors? Or
No, this is actually my first year out of the juniors. So I'm a senior.
So your racing age
19.
Is 19. Yeah. You're going to turn 19 this year.
Yeah.
Right.
So
you can't race juniors anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's big time now. It's the big time.
Yeah.
Are you going to do a Pursuit team, or are you going to? What are your plans for Nationals?
I don't know for sure yet, but because track Nationals are in October, long ways to think about. So, but I know I'll be at track Nationals, be at road, and I'm sure Rock will have a team Pursuit team, and I'll probably... most likely do it.
Who are the guys on Rock that are the pursuiters that you wouldn't mind riding with, or you think you might ride with?
Well, there's only a handful of guys that race on the track from Rock. And, you know, me, Justin, Rasan, Sterling, Sergio, all the guys that were out there on Saturday at ADT.
Mm-hmm. Sergio Hernandez.
Yeah.
Rasan being a sprinter, well, I think of him as a sprinter. He's a killer sprinter. He did win Nationals, didn't he, in the Criterium Nationals?
Yeah, he won in Downers Grove this year.
Yeah. Has he got the aptitude and could he be a pursuer in the team?
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, because the track is more short. You know,
right, so. Right. And the pursuit team's a four-man team. You mentioned five guys there.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so an alternate.
Yeah.
Okay, so Iggy the alternate. Hopefully not. Hopefully Iggy. Hopefully somebody else will be the alternate. But you guys are all good, so it's all good. You know, as team manager, I would train all five of you and see if you guys, you know, as a pursuit, and have you all go and then see who's getting the better times and take the top four.
Yeah.
And one guy as an alternate is always a good strategy because you just never know. You know, Nationals comes up, one guy's injured, sick, whatever. Well, there you go. You got your alternate. Where's Nationals this year?
Track is in ADT, so pretty close. Lucky to be down here. Better than traveling all the way to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the ADT LA Velodrome right in Carson, and you guys are in San Diego, so that's pretty close.
Yeah.
That's going to be in June?
No, in October.
Oh, October?
Yeah.
National track in October.
Elite okay. Nationals, yeah.
He's got lots of time to practice for that. But then again, it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah.
Are you going to do some road races or criteriums or track or all of it during the season? Or?
Yeah, I plan on doing everything. Don't want to focus too much on one thing. Keep the options open because, you know, track really helps the road racing with the speed and the, you know, just the intensity of the racing.
Yeah, all these pro riders you see placing really well in the sprints and the tour, they've all done track in the past. So,
yeah,
no doubt that's. But track is primarily your focus then, right, for the Nationals and everything this season.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna focus on doing good on the road, but towards the end of the year, track will be my main focus once most of the road season's over.
Right. Well, again, you're here with Bike Sport Radio, 213-252-0998. Again, 213-252-0998. And I'm Brad House, and we're talking with Iggy Silva III, Junior National Pursuit Champion. So, how do you climb? You a good climber, average climber?
I'm all right. I did pretty good last year, you know, but coming into my first year as not a junior, it's going to be tough keeping up with those pro guys that can climb.
The races are longer, yes. The road racing is a lot longer with the elite versus the juniors.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you've participated in many of the so-called pickup training rides in San Diego. Do you have any favorite ride down there you do on a regular basis?
On Wednesdays, I'll do the Carlsbad ride. It starts in Carlsbad at Starbucks. We go through Pendleton.
What time does that start?
At 8:15.
8:15 a.m. A Wednesday, a weekly Wednesday ride.
Yeah.
And so these guys don't have jobs or they're really serious about their training, huh?
A little bit of both, I'm sure.
All right. How long is the training ride and what kind of hills does it do?
It's pretty flat. You start from Carlsbad, go up PCH, go through Pendleton, and it's pretty much flat through the whole ride, and we finish near the nuclear plant up there. San Onofre.
Oh, cool. So that's where you got that third leg.
Yeah.
All right. No wonder you're so fast. And San Onofre, yeah, that is kind of flat. Carlsbad to, yes, Pendleton is relatively flat. Just got to watch
out for a couple rollers, but that's about it.
A couple tanks, artillery fire, stuff like that.
It was pretty crazy the first time I went there. It's the only place I've ever seen a tank crossing sign.
Yeah, they do. They got little yellow signs out there. It says tank crossing ahead, and you can see tractor tread marks on the ground and stuff. And Are they strict on security or anything, or do they stop and check you guys for ID? Here comes a peloton of 100 guys. Yeah. You know, what do they do?
Yeah, as we roll into the base, you gotta bring your ID. They check everyone.
Really?
And actually, this past Wednesday, there's about 100, maybe more of us, and we take up pretty much the whole road, and we got pulled over Wednesday for doing that.
What, in MPs, military police?
Yeah.
Really?
Pulled us over, yeah. So
you just said to ride farther to ride?
File, yeah.
100 guys, they want to push you single
file. Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I don't know. A little message to the government out there. Hey, let them ride. You know, they just go through. What's the delay? A couple of seconds? Maybe a minute at the worst?
Yeah, we're pretty much going the speed limit anyway, so.
Yeah, there's probably not that much traffic in a military base either. So that's, you know, here's your future champions, too, of the world, representing the world. And yeah, let them ride.
Yeah.
So that's a Wednesday ride. And then what about on weekends? Are you riding road rides on weekends?
Yeah. Saturday I do I'll do the Swami's ride. Starts in Solana Beach. That's a good ride. A
Saturday or Sunday? Or?
Saturdays, yeah.
Saturday ride.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I've heard of that. Swami's is a cycling club.
Yeah.
That a lot of these clubs out there, for you listeners, they have rides that are kind of like pickup rides. Anybody goes, but a club may post it on their website initially, or they did it first. But, you know, the next thing you know, you've got 100 people from all different clubs riding because it's better to train in a group, and it's just kind of an informal thing.
Yeah.
Everybody just goes and rides. Some notable riders, Chris Horner out there training, Shirley Neal and these guys?
Yeah. Come Horner on. And Neal Shirley go out there pretty much every weekend, see them. It's nice to get those big-time pro dudes out there just cruising on the local rides.
Tell us a little about the credentials of Neal Shirley and Chris Horner.
Well, Horner's a pretty decorated U.S. rider, and he's on a Astana racing alongside Lance this year. And he's getting ready for Tour California. So Neal Shirley, he's been riding for Jittery Joe's. And he recently, last year or 2 years ago, got third in the U.S. Road Nationals. So,
yeah, Neal Shirley, wow. So you've also got state championships that come and go through the year. Are you plan to participate in the states, of course, too, before you go to Nationals? And when are those? And
well, states are usually a couple months earlier than Nationals. But it is usually a good test to see how you're riding compared to the other people. Because at least for the crits, Southern California has probably some of the best riders out there. So if you do pretty good at states, you probably do pretty good at Nationals. I mean, as you see, Rasan, national champion. Justin, national champion, both from Southern California.
Yeah, both Los Angeles, San Diego, and Northern Cal also. We've got a lot of competitive racers in this area, so it's very competitive. Colorado has a pretty good hotbed of competitive cycling too, and a little bit on the East Coast as well.
Racing out here really helps, because I'm planning on going to Europe in the summer with the national team, and racing over there is just it's life in Europe. People grow up from, you know, 5 years old racing a bike.
Yeah. The thing about American racing is a lot of times you can become, you know, a top level amateur, semi-pro level in America. Then you go to Europe. Guess what? You are suddenly Mr. Domestique. You're at the bottom again almost, huh?
It's way different. It's amazing how many people just show up. I went there last year. And there's probably, you could race every day of the week. And we race 3-4 times a week, and probably 100 to 200 people come out to a local circuit race that starts at a bar in Belgium.
Cool, that's cool. Starting at a bar in Belgium. So, Wow, so look out world. We got Iggy coming. Iggy Silva III. 213-252-0998. You're here with Bike Sport Radio. We've also got Bike Talk, and that's a 10 a.m. Saturday show, 10 a.m. till noon. Bike Sport is on alternate Mondays at noon. Bike Talk is about bikes and bike riders, activism, bike artists, and just bike culture in general. Nick Reinhardt doing a fine job with Bike Talk Radio. That's Saturdays at 10 a.m. And if you like what we're doing here at Kill Radio, be sure to donate to us online at Kill Radio. We are a project of the Social and Environmental Entrepreneurs. You can go to saveourplanet.org right now and look up the project Kill Radio. Donate through PayPal or a credit card. So be sure and donate to Kill Radio Studio. It's non-profit. You have anything you want to add, Iggy? We're getting ready to move on to the next feature here. And
just want to tell everyone, ride their bikes. Good exercise. Green. Stay green.
All right. That's good. Thanks, Iggy Silva. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Bike Sport, Iggy Silva. We've got in the studio now, we've also got the inventor of what's called the Geo Lung, Cecil Campbell. And again, Cecil comes from Le Mans Racing and Formula One racing background. He's into bikes now for that exact reason. It's greener and green and mean, and he loves riding his bike, and he's invented this thing.
How you doing, Cecil? Tires.
How you doing, Cecil?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, Brad. Pretty exciting to be here for the day.
Yeah, Bike Sport Radio.
It wasn't exciting as coming up the train and having my life in my hands, but I'm okay.
It's your first train ride, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So now I know how Europeans feel.
So what is the Geo Lung?
Okay,
exactly?
Tell us about the Geo Lung. Let's get into it. Okay, the Geo Lung is because here in California we don't have the cleanest of air, of course, and I was doing the 24 hours of adrenaline bike racing. Excuse me. And then what was happening is I have acute adult asthma. So my lungs were closing down sometimes, and I had to rush myself to the hospital along with my daughter one time. So I said, you know, I got to alleviate this somehow. And being from the background that I have, I was always coming up with inventions for the car racing and stuff and things that we needed. So I put my little brain together, as little as it is. And I come up with the Geo Lung. And what it is, it's some of us say you can call it a mask, but it fits in your mouth like a BC if you've ever done any diving or anything. And it filters out biomaterial, dust particles, and also has a carbon activated filter inside to where it will filter out smoke and smog, most of it. That's why I call it a sports filtration system. When you're riding or running, you can put this in your mouth. It will not fall. You tried the prototype that I had.
Yeah, I actually tried the Geo Lung on a couple of rides, some commuting, the local Simi Valley training ride, and it's basically a bite apparatus. You put it in your mouth and you bite on it. You don't really have to bite on it much because it's large enough that you can actually open your mouth and it won't fall out. I was a little concerned about it falling out, though, so I didn't open my mouth too wide because this was a prototype and I didn't want to destroy it. It was a very interesting device, very clean air. So,
It's always going to get a rush of clean air, and when you're breathing in, it cools the air that you're breathing in. So even on a hot day when you're riding, it should be able to cool it down, and it does for me. As far as the commuter bicyclist, you know, it's going to be great for people on road bikes, next to cars, sitting next to cars, and you're not having to suck up the tailpipe that somebody's spewing out. And you can use it just, you know, like on that train today. Everybody with the smoke and people's body odors are not the best on the train. So it kind of like, you know, it can filter that out.
You got something against public transit? Uh-huh.
Yeah, the only public transit I like is me on the public bicycle.
Yeah, well, I showered today, didn't I?
Yeah,
sniffing my underarms. We're in the radio studio here, so you guys can't smell us. So
yeah,
that's cool.
They're lucky.
You're lucky you can't smell us or see us either.
You know, I was listening to a little Iggy's of some of his conversation, and being a former Marine myself, you know, I was down in Camp Pendleton. So if you got two Marines and they're taking on 100 guys coming down and telling them to stop, you know these guys are Marines.
Yeah, that's right. You see a Marine stop, a whole peloton.
These are real Marines. So. These are going to kick your ass kind of Marines. I like these kind of guys.
So how does this? How does the Geolung work exactly? What kind of? Are there any modifications or modular systems? How does it work?
It okay. What I've done, I've taken the little part. It's two piece apparatus. Put it together, but inside there's a wall, and I have the diaphragms inside, and I have diaphragms on the outside. So when you're breathing in, you breathe in clean air, and the two diaphragms on the side close. So when you breathe back into it, the one diaphragm on the inside closes, the two on the outside open. So it's a constant circular motion of air you're getting. So that's about it. It was pretty easy. I got my patent on it and all that. And my partner is in China right now as we speak, you know, developing, or he's has everything ready for production, but we need a little funding, and we need to get that going. And he's waiting for me, but I'm waiting for the cost estimate that he's going to give me to where I can get my small business loan for that.
Yeah, so but anybody interested in investing in the Geolung, it's geolung.com. That's G-E-O-L-U-N-G, geolung.com. It's the domain's actually parked right now. The website's not up. Cecil-Campbell. At
SBCglobal.net.
Yeah. SBCglobal.net, okay.
And
are the filters carbon or particulate or what?
It's a two-piece filter. It's a fiber filter and a carbon-activated. Now, the fiber filter is cotton, so it's all biodegradable, so we're not leaving a big carbon footprint behind us. The polymers in the Geolung itself are actually, as you can see, when you tried yours, I know it broke because it was kind of thin, and because we're not trying to use like a lot of resins or anything like this in the mask itself. So that way, again, we don't want to leave a big carbon footprint behind us. And the mouthpiece, I'm ashamed to say, that's the only mouthpiece I'm going to get. It's an acrylic, and it's going to be able to keep your teeth a lot cleaner because you're biting down on this mouthpiece and you're not grinding your teeth when you ride. Because I know a lot of people, when I ride, I was grinding my teeth, especially when I hit the hill and I'm gnashing down on my teeth.
So. Yeah, mountain biking too. You know, with all that dust out there, you're doing a downhill, yeah. Your jaw's just bouncing up and down, and my teeth are all jacked. I'm missing pieces of my teeth. I'm not sure if that's what it's from mountain biking all the years, but you never know. Certainly if I took it on the chin and did a flying Superman over the bars and landed on my Geolung, I'm sure the bite part would protect my teeth. It might destroy the Geolung, yeah. But hey.
Oh, I'm sure that the mouthpiece is going to protect your teeth. Your face, it's too late to save your face anyway. But that's out of my control.
Those of you that have seen my face know he's lying. But anyways, Brad House with Bike Sport, 213-252-0998. Let's say I wanted to do something with that device that maybe it's not designed to. Maybe I'm thinking of something athletic, something to help boost my blood, so to speak, or simulate altitude training. Are the filters replaceable? Could I put something in there that absorbs oxygen, for example, to simulate altitude?
Yes, you could. There's a couple filters you could buy to put that in. It will restrict your breathing, and that way your body will make more red blood cells for oxygen. So that way when you are up in a lot cleaner air and you're ready for that race, you should be able to have the blood conditioning that you need. Hopefully one day our air won't, as far as my pocketbook, I want this thing to go out, like a bang. But as far as my lungs, I wish I didn't have to come up with this. But
necessity is the mother of invention. So
yes,
thank God
yes.
for asthma.
Campbell. Note this, though. I am in better shape today than I was when I was in the Marine Corps from bicycle riding. And people should take note of that. Bikers have a bigger, stronger heart wall than most.
Well, like we were saying earlier with Iggy, there's no other sport where you compete. And once you get to the pro level, you're competing, four and a half hour events without any time out or a half time or a break or anything. These guys eat and drink and expel bodily fluids during your event because the event is so long. So when you're stretching your cardiovascular system at that high a level, there's no other sport that I can think of that's competitive to that. Maybe marathon running, maybe long, Ironman triathlon certainly is up there probably too. But
well, my biking distance at the time, now is been up to 110 miles. But in April, we're going to be going past that with my ride from here to New York in April. I'm going to try to do it in 20 days using the mask and seeing how far one filter will go. I'm hoping to take it all the way.
The Bike for Geolung, going cross-country, coast-to-coast, Cecil Campbell, Bike for Geolung in April. Yeah, it's, Boys and Girls Clubs across the nation are involved, I think, too.
Yes, we're going to be involving the Boys and Girls Club of America. So they can, what they're going to be able to do is call me on the road, ask me where I'm at the time. I'm going to give them little jobs to do, little homework. I want to know this, the state flower, the state bird, the state rock. I'm going to want them to tell me when that state was inducted in the union, who the presidents are. I'm going to give them just a list of little things for them to do. Keep them busy. Keep their minds working. Their bodies in action. And that's the positives all the way around.
So about when, I don't know if you know when yet, but maybe when and where will the Geolung be available?
Oh, man, I'll tell you.
Start with where, maybe, because you probably don't know when.
Well, where is going to be here in L.A. That's going to be the first shipment. Hopefully, I'm going to be taking them to the races. My partner, who used to be one of the head model builder for Revell Toys, he's going into China up the first of this month, or February, actually, I'm sorry. And he'll be over there, and he's got everything we're set up at this time for production. And he's going to be lining everything up.
Tooling up now.
Tooling up now.
And do you plan to sell through athletic shops, sporting goods shops, all of the above?
All of the above. I actually really would like to bring the manufacturing back here to America to create jobs here. And I'm not saying anything against the Chinese people. They're great people. That's great. But they got most of our manufacturing over there. Give us something over here. But my pockets are kind of, not as deep as most, so I need, I need a start. I need a push-off.
Need to start somewhere, exactly. As does everybody, unfortunately. But how's this for a turnaround? How about if we manufacture it here and we sell it to the Chinese because their air is crappier than ours?
Oh,
I'd like to see that.
Terrible. I've been to Hong Kong, and it's pretty at nighttime, but then the lights come on in the daytime, and you really see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Not good. Doesn't smell too good.
All right. Anything else you want to add about the Geolungs?
No. If I want to get into the corporate aspect, it's going to have different shapes, different colors. You can get it in different sizes. It's going to be like three different sizes, I think. We have a military application, too, which I'm not really too keen on military anymore, after Iraq. But
We probably can't talk about that. That's all classified.
No, we can't. It's classified, yeah.
All right, Cecil Campbell, the Geolung. Check it out at geolung.com. Thank you, Cecil.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brad. I appreciate it.
All right. So you're here with Bike Sport Radio, Brad House. And in closing, we always have a couple of things we mentioned to the drivers out there. Drivers, you are out there using our roads. Those are the roads we train and race on, but they're your roads too. But think about this. A driver in a car, when they're out there, they weigh like 3,000 pounds, cyclists and bike, 200 pounds. So in all your actions you do out there interacting drivers and cars, let's keep that in mind, 3,000 pounds versus 200 pounds. Cyclists, share the road. Drivers, give us a little space and share the road and think about it, when you're out there. You just never know. That guy might be commuting to work, might be your boss, or it could be the next national champion. You just never know with who's out there on the road. And in closing here, I'd like to thank big thank you to Bennett again for helping us out at the studio. Iggy, big thanks to you for coming into the studio and chatting with us. And Cecil, thanks to you too for coming in at Bike Sport.